You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona homeowners, and join me in the landscape and garden. It is the fourth Saturday of the month, so we are urban farming with Mr. Greg Peterson.
And yay!
First time he's actually walked in and said something, and I'm like, we got to make that the word of the hour. It's farmtastic is too good to not share with the listening audience.
Love it.
Text questions during the broadcast to 411-923, or if you want to email a picture, you need help with some plant or insect identification, take out your phone, snap a picture, and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
Today,
fantastic!
It's all about
deciduous trees today.
Yeah, we're talking about deciduous fruit trees today, and there's a particular way we look at them in urban areas. It's called urban orcharding, and so we don't plant.
I need to start a thesaurus page for when Greg comes in. Add on to that
go.
Every time you're in farmtastic, urban orcharding,
yeah,
permaculture. Here's Greg's page you need to have ready for when he comes in on Saturdays.
Nice. Well, they're all easy terms. So urban orcharding is a way of growing fruit trees in the city. So we don't generally we don't have acres and acres where we can grow a peach tree that's 30 feet tall and be able to harvest it. And you know, normally we have a small yard, right? And so what we do is we have a particular way called urban orcharding that we manage our fruit trees, and that's to keep them small. The perfect size fruit tree is 8 to 10 feet tall, because you can walk up to an 8 foot tall peach tree or an 8 foot tall apple tree, and you can harvest it from on the ground and put a net over it. In fact, I tell people never put bird netting over your fruit trees. It just kills the birds and it tangles with the tree. You want to use something called tulle, T-U-L-L-E. You buy it at the fabric store.
Okay.
So for netting, you use that. And keeping the trees small, they're much easier to manage. They're easier to prune. They're easier to harvest. They're easier to net. But there's also another key piece to this, and that is something called successive ripening. Successive ripening is planting fruit trees so they kind of roll along for you. So my favorite three peach trees are desert gold peach. It ripens the beginning to mid-May. The tropic snow peach, it ripens the beginning of June. And the mid-pride peach, it ripens toward the end of June. And so what I tell people is, in the same space of a standard size peach tree, I can put three or four varieties. So a 25 foot tall peach tree is going to give us 300-400 pounds of peaches all in a 2 week period. Right. You're laughing. Exactly. What is any homeowner going to do with that many peaches?
I know people have perished from drinking too much water. I don't know that we've ever had anyone perish from eating too much peaches. But I think if you tried to do 200 pounds in a 2 week time, you just might.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's problematic. So what we encourage people to do is keep your tree small. An 8 foot tall tree still going to produce 50 pounds of fruit, which for a family or two and to share with your friends, that's an amazing amount of fruit. Then what we do in this successive ripening is, you know, the desert gold peaches come in and you get 30 or 40 or 50 pounds. And then the tropic snow peaches come in 2 to 3 weeks later and you get 30 or 40 or 50 pounds. And then the mid-pride peaches come in, you know, a couple of weeks later and you get 30 or 40 or 50 pounds. So basically what I've just done is I've spread my peach harvest over not a 2 to 3 week period, but a 9 to 12 week period.
And just as you get tired of one variety, you've got a new variety with a slightly different taste to change it up a little bit.
Exactly. And
are one of those better for canning over the other?
Well, I think what really makes a peach, or a stone fruit in this case, a stone fruit is anything with a pit in the middle of it. So peaches, apricots, plums. I think what makes them easier for canning is how much of a freestone they are. That means how quickly does the pit pop out? So can you just cut it in half, and will the pit pop out, or do you have to dig for the pit? So desert gold peaches are what we call a semi-cling, so the seed kind of holds on, although I've canned with them and they're amazing. It's actually my favorite peach. In fact, a little later on today, people can come down and visit us at our nursery. We're open today. And I have extra desert gold peaches available for people to pick up.
To the tree?
The tree, exactly.
Now, this is the pop-up nursery?
Yes. Yeah, I run
a pop-up. See, I got my Greg term right, the pop-up nursery.
There you go. Yeah, I run a pop-up nursery in January and February where we have all kinds of deciduous and citrus. Citrus will be next month, fruit trees available for people to pre-purchase or just come on down and get them.
Wonderful. Where's the pop-up nursery? Where does it pop up?
It pops up at near 7th Street in Highland. The address is 4549 North 7th Street. That's just south of Highland on 7th Street. And it's a friend of mine's warehouse. And we take it over for a two-month period in January and February, and it becomes an amazing nursery.
Now, these are deciduous. These are...
They lose their leaves in the winter. That's what deciduous means.
And trees that you could take to a high elevation.
Pretty much these are fruit trees that you want to keep in the desert to...
You would want to keep these below what, 3,000?
Yeah, Black Canyon City probably.
Okay.
So Black Canyon City, maybe a little bit higher than Black Canyon City south. So down into Tucson and southern Arizona. And we're going to talk in a little while. I got three pieces of data that you have to know before you purchase a deciduous tree.
Okay.
Because if you don't know these, you can actually, here's the thing, you can actually go into a lot of nurseries, especially the big box stores, and they will sell you a fruit tree that will never make fruit, which is bogus. That's totally bogus. And the bummer is they know it.
The people at the local store might not, but the people doing the ordering and the distribution might know it a little bit better.
Yeah, well, and here's the sad part. I've been into most of the local nurseries, and they've slipped on that some, too.
Mm.
So these are three pieces. We'll cover it in a segment in a little while. These are three pieces that you absolutely have to know before you buy a deciduous fruit tree.
But in this segment, we wanted to finish talking about keeping them small.
And right.
A lot of them, you could hedge them. You can prune them different. There's all kinds of techniques to keep them manageable.
Exactly. In fact, one of my favorite, you mentioned it, one of my favorite things to do is plant them in a hedge. A hedgerow is, well, you know, you've seen oleanders in hedgerows. Why can't you put citrus or apples in hedgerows? You can. And they do amazingly well. My front yard on two sides is a hedgerow of citrus. I have about 30 citrus trees across the front of my property and down the north side, giving me 8 or 10 different varieties of citrus fruit. In fact, you were munching on one a little while ago that I brought. I think you said your tummy's citrus happy.
Yes. I tried to find a better rhyme, but I couldn't do it in a short time.
There you go. So hedgerows is a great way to do it. And I get this question often, how far apart do I plant my deciduous trees? So like in this case, apples, 5 feet. So from trunk to trunk, a five foot apart from trunk to trunk will make an amazing hedge after about 3 to 5 years. And I have an apple hedge in my front yard that has 8 apple trees in it, makes apples every year, and it's wonderful. It's incredible.
Now, how are you managing the hedge growth? Because there's a lot of stone fruits, and I don't know the difference between which ones put on fruit on new growth versus mm-hmm. old growth. And you know, you've obviously got to keep the hedge. How do you know you're not trimming off the new growth that the fruit's going to come from?
Exactly. You have to be very careful about that. A lot of times the fruit comes on spurwood. So basically what we're doing in urban orcharding and with hedging is we're keeping the trees the size and shape that we want them. So it takes a lot of work up front. So the first couple of years you're pruning a lot. But really the key is to keep it short. And if you're keeping it short, so anything over, basically my trees, anything over about 8 feet, 9 feet, I cut off. And you can cut that off on deciduous trees and on citrus trees. You can cut that off any time of the year. Because anything growing over 10 feet on any of my deciduous trees, I'm going to cut it off anyways. I don't want the energy of the tree growing up that high. I want to keep it low. So in the pruning process, I just make sure I don't prune off all the spur wood that is below that 8 feet, which is really simple to do.
And the spur wood is the...
The new growth, the new, you know, the new branches where the, you know, where the buds come from, where the...
Do they somehow have a little fuzz on them?
Yeah. When you look at an apricot tree or a peach tree or an apple tree, it's real apparent.
And is that the same for all stone woods? Is they only produce on new growth or stone fruit?
Yeah, good question. And I don't know the answer to that. I just know the ones that I keep here, they are a lot of new growth. So that's where, you know, that's where a lot of the fruit comes from.
Yeah. And do you have to thin a lot? Or am I jumping ahead?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, a little bit, but we can touch on that because people cringe. You know, I tell people to take at least 75% of the flowers and fruit off. And it's like, no way! But here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I had this peach tree in my front yard. It was a mid-pride peach. And we had a late February freeze. And I lost about 75% of the fruit. That was the best year for the biggest and most juiciest peaches I've ever had on a fruit tree. It was amazing how that worked. So that was my lesson. I watched nature. It knocked off most of the fruit for me. And, you know, I had these almost softball-sized peaches that when you bit into them, you had to lean over. Otherwise, they splashed down the front of your shirt. And basically what's happening is you're taking a bunch of those small fruits off and the flowers off so that it can, the tree can shoot the energy to the ones that are left over. And it really makes them nice.
How early do you have to get on that? By the time you start seeing the peach and the fruit form, are you too late?
Not really.
Okay.
And, you know, I thin all the way through, you know, golf ball size.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you have as many fruit trees as I do, you don't always get to it. So you do your best. The best thing to do, and I do this early on, is I just go shake the tree once when it starts setting fruit and let the ones kind of self-select off.
And there is another caveat. One, it's hard to prune when it's something new that you've planted. It's like your little baby.
Yeah.
Well, second, the peach tree bloom is so gorgeous. Why would you want to go knock off half your color?
Oh, there you go.
That's a hard thing to do. But
a
like
lot
you
of
said,
these things are.
If you're disciplined in that, you get the nice produce. Otherwise, you're eating little pea-size peaches.
Peaches, yeah, exactly.
More with urban farmer Greg Peterson right after this.